Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com. Today's program is brought to you by TechServe. For more information, visit TechServe.com.
Listening to You Look Hungry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Helen Holliman, and I'm back for another week of radio in Roberta's Restaurant in Bushwick, Brooklyn. And today I'm joined by Brian Shimkovitz of the amazing blog Awesome Tapes from Africa. Brian, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for inviting me. This is a pleasant surprise.
So straight off the bat, you know, can you describe what the blog is and how it came about?
Yeah, so I studied in Ghana, West Africa, did a Fulbright project there studying the hip-hop scene, and came back with lots of tapes. I'd been to Africa a couple times and just gathered up all these cassettes that I collected around different countries and places, and moved to New York afterwards and decided I wanted to do something constructive with my time when I wasn't working. And so I ended up just starting to post stuff. This was in 2006, and so now it's become a fun thing that is my job also, and I'm just posting cassettes in their entirety of music you can't find anywhere else for the most part. And yeah, people seem to be really into it, so I've been really lucky and having a really good time.
What in particular drew you to Ghana, you know, musically per se?
Well, for me, I had never traveled abroad before. And so when I realized I could do this study abroad thing in college, I was like, why don't I go somewhere that's really going to shock me culturally? And I knew about Ghanaian music a little bit because I had a friend who had been there, and he had played some cassettes of really interesting music from the 70s and 80s for me. And so my mind was kind of blown when I realized that there was this incredible diversity of pop and folk music there that we don't really find at the record stores. Yeah, I was just drawn to, I was studying ethnomusicology, so it made sense for me to go somewhere where I could study popular music in an urban setting, which was like my obsession. And so Ghana seemed accessible, but really kind of different and far away. You know, they speak English there, or a lot of people do. It's, you know, former British colony. And I had met Ghanaians at my university, and they seemed really nice. And so, but like, in terms of music, I heard all sorts of interesting soulful music coming from there. So when I went there, I thought I was going to study high life. But then I found out about what they're doing with rap, and that was more interesting and more sort of relevant.
So you've chosen on the blog to focus primarily on cassette tapes. Can you explain why?
Yeah, the first time I went to Ghana was in 2002, and at that time, the widest variety of music that you could find was on cassette. When I went back in 2005, it was like still a lot of cassette. CDs were really expensive. Not as many albums that came out were available on CD. Nowadays, things have changed, and across Africa, people are using a lot of CDs and VCDs and trading tracks over their cell phones and all this stuff. But for some reason, it made sense for me, just because I've always been like a tape guy. Like, I grew up, you know, obsessed with the Grateful Dead and like have like hundreds of Dead tapes. And I was always just like a tape guy, and I thought it was really nice that there was still like a tape culture happening there. And it persists today, but not as much. So the blog, you know, I think blogs are really fun when they have like a specific thing that they do, and they do it consistently and really well. And so it was just like a fun project for me, I guess.
Can you describe one of the first tapes that you found over there? Where did you find it? Describe like the atmosphere, and then what is on the tape? Like one of your favorites.
Yeah, one of the first tapes that I found over there that I had like heard one track of before I went to Ghana was by this artist named Alhaji K. Frimpong. Alhaji K. Frimpong is a highlife artist who had some records in the 70s that really like had funky beats and really cool stuff that felt kind of more accessible for me because I was still very new with African rhythms and Ghanaian language. And so when I went there, I was looking around in downtown Accra, the capital city, and they have several markets, but there's one market called Cantamanto, which is just like massive used clothing, bonanza, and millions of other things. But there's a huge section of two rows of just tape shops. And I was just like, being a music nerd, like I was super blown away, but I knew I needed to have some direction. So I went from shop to shop asking for Al Haji K. Frimpong's tape. And it was, you know, it was around after the first few shops I found it. And just the whole experience of looking around for music in such a different kind of setting in this, you know, vast marketplace outside, super hot, like dusty, and really a lot of the shopkeepers were really friendly and nice, but also kind of aggressive and like really want you to buy something. And they're also really willing to play the tapes for you, which is, I think, the reason why I ended up with so many tapes, is because people, anything you point out or grab off the rack, they're like, sure, I'll play it for you. And you can just hear it right then and there. And as I got deeper into things and learned the language and learned the kind of stuff I was looking for and what I was interested in and started doing research and asking a lot of questions, it was just like a total, you know, mind-opening event for me. And I just got really hooked on it.
What was the local favorite amongst like the shopkeepers? Like, did they have a go-to band that they were really excited about?
Well, the thing that I started getting into shortly after I arrived in Ghana is hip life music, which is their sort of version of hip hop. And at the time, a lot of artists, you know, it was still kind of new. It was probably like at the beginning stages of the second generation of hip life artists who were really rapping in local languages over beats that sounded a lot like American hip hop beats. But more and more it was starting to indigenize rhythmically. And so some of the artists that were really popular at the time were like this band VIP, who are still around, and they were kind of at the top of their game at that time. And this guy Tic Tac, I mean, tracks by these guys, like you cannot walk 10 feet in Accra without hearing this music, like blasting out of buses and stuff. And so it was really, when an artist gets big in Ghana, their music becomes really ubiquitous. And even if you don't like the track the first 20 times you hear it, like after a while, as a lot of people told me when I was doing my research, like after a while you start to get used to it, people would say. And like it just becomes something that people are down with because they've just heard it so many times.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just really interesting to me because the production sounded kind of like bubblegum, lo-fi. You know, I don't know if you're familiar with the program Fruity Loops. It's a very sort of basic beat making programming program. And yeah, like I was just really excited to see that, you know, these top 10 songs were just this kind of music that I never imagined before, that I wasn't sure if it could really be famous in America. But people were always asking me, like, how can I get my music over there? Like, you know, would people in New York like this or what? You know, it was really interesting.
So what were you eating in Accra, and what is one thing, if you could isolate something that you miss, that you can't get out here?
Honestly, like on a weekly basis, I deeply, deeply miss one of Ghana's really famous national cuisines or dishes. It's called fufu, with what they call light soup. Now, fufu is a sort of gelatinous glob of starch. It's a combination usually of plantains and cassava mashed together with water, and you're supposed to swallow it. But they put it in the bottom of a big bowl, and then they pour the soup over it. And light soup is a soup that's just delicious. It's made out of goat, ginger, garlic, onion, tomato, and maybe like some bouillon. And it's just really spicy and juicy and amazing. And you know, you eat it with your hand, and this is just something I've never been able to get. Like, I've been to places around the states that serve Ghanaian food, and it just never tastes the same. But this is something that's just local food that I would eat almost every single day, and I just loved it so much.
Have you ever tried recreating it at home? Or
I have,
yeah,
a couple times.
Not so good.
Well, the issue is, like, the only way to make fufu, like, in your kitchen is with the fufu mix, which you can find at any African grocery store, and it just comes in a box, and it's like the equivalent of making mashed potatoes out of a box. It's just not going to taste right. It's not going to have the right consistency. But I did a decent version of light soup. You know, I went to the butcher and got goat, and I did it the way that I remembered doing it when I was living with families the first time I went to Ghana, because the cool thing about my study abroad trip is I lived with families in different parts of the country, and you know, most of them are cooking over a charcoal grill, you know, with a fan made out of natural fibers, just fanning it. And I would sit there and they'd be like, go fan it for a while. And you sit there and fan it for like a half hour to get it really hot. And I helped people cook, and it was really fun to see the way that they did things, the way that they chopped vegetables and the types of condiments that they use. I was just talking the other day with some friends in Germany about one of my favorite condiments in Ghana, which is called shito. And it's really kind of weird looking because it's like black and like smells like fish and it's oily, but it's super spicy. And you just, what it is basically like parts of fish and onion and really hot chilies that are fried over in like a huge skillet for a really long time until it becomes like this paste. And it gets mixed up for hours and people sell it in a jar. But like anytime you get fried rice or anything like that, rice dishes, you can always have that on the side. And it only takes a small, like a teaspoon worth to get the flavor in there. And it's a bit of an acquired taste, but it's just delicious.
What about like beverages? What kind of tasty drinks were you sipping on?
Yeah, like honestly, I didn't mess too much with local drinks. I mean, they did have different types of local alcohol, something called apateshi, which is like palm wine, which is the liquid that comes out of a certain type of palm tree that's been distilled sort of like vodka or whiskey. There's that, and then there's also like a local beer up in the north called pito, and that's made out of millet or sorghum, I think. But really, like, for the most part in the cities of Ghana, people are drinking Coke, Sprite, Fanta, and Guinness. Guinness is like a huge, huge thing there. And they also have two different local beers called Club and Star, and maybe a couple others, but like those are the two main ones. They're not that great, and definitely the Guinness tastes different there. Like it's bottled there, it's brewed there, and it has a different flavor.
What does it taste like?
It just tastes like darker and heavier, and it's usually not very cold. And the other thing is, like, obviously in a tropical part of Africa, and especially for like a foreigner, you're constantly trying to drink water. And one of the really interesting things about Ghana and probably a lot of other places in West Africa that I've been to is they have these little bags of plastic bags of water, sachets of water, and there's different companies. And one of my buddies, when I was traveling there the first time, went through and collected one of every different kind of company he could find. He found at least 60 or 70 different sachets of all these different companies that are in different parts of Accra. And, you know, it's just like a 500 milliliter little bag of cold water, and you can get it anywhere, and, you know, the trash is on the ground everywhere. But yeah, they all have like these really fun names, you know, like God is good water and like purest sip water. And like, it's all like a lot of like Christian allusions, and you know, water is a big thing and it's super important, and it's really hard to get clean water in certain parts of West Africa. So that's like definitely a constant thing that you're thinking about.
So what are some other spots that you hit in West Africa, and what are some of the highlights?
I really loved going to Mali. I traveled overland from Ghana through Burkina Faso to Mali, which is a landlocked country north of Ghana, and it's a pretty far journey, even though it doesn't look that far on the map. And definitely one of the highlights was going to the festival in the desert, which you may have heard about. It's like this big festival that happens sort of 5 hours outside of Timbuktu on the edge of the Sahara. And that was really fascinating for me because, it was a natural sort of traditional gathering of Tuareg, you know, migratory folks, but or nomadic peoples. But now it's kind of been turned into like this European world music festival, and it's kind of cheesy, but like it's really fun to like stay out in a tent amongst camels and eat lots of, you know, like meat brochettes and stuff. And another big thing for me that I really enjoyed was going to Burkina Faso and staying in the capital city, Ouagadougou, because it's like a city that we don't hear too much about, and it's really kind of quiet and chill and just flat and dusty and mellow. But the food there just blew me away. Like every night when it became dusk, there would be like rows of guys on the main streets, like with these charcoal grills, cooking up the sort of, I guess to us, they're like kebabs, you know, it's like meat on a stick over these sticks. And you could just ask for however many you want. And then they stick it on a piece of really nice baguette, which you can't get in Ghana because Burkina Faso, being a former French colony, they have really good baguette. So, they would just, you know, chop open a, or slice open a baguette, stick a bunch of meat inside, and then a sort of mix of vegetables like onions and cucumbers with some oil, and then some chili powder. And it's just magnificent, super cheap, just totally my jam. And that's what I would eat every day in Burkina Faso.
I want some of that. It sounds like African banh mi, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. A little bit, actually, yeah. Now that you say it. Yeah, because it, yeah, instead of the vegetables being pickled, they're just kind of like vegetables with some oil. But yeah, it's definitely a bit like African banh mi, and it's incredibly delicious. Yeah, I really enjoyed that.
Hot damn. Well, so we're going to take a quick break, but can you introduce what we're going to be listening to during the break?
Yeah, I guess it's appropriate. We're talking about Burkina Faso and northern Ghana, this sort of Sahelian area. Awesome Tapes from Africa is now also a record label, and the second release on the label is by a guy from that region, from Bolgatanga, Ghana, way up north. His name is Bola. This is a track from his record, a track that I really love. Abayatiduma. And yeah, enjoy.
Take it away.
I need a new computer. I guess I'm going to have to go to the Apple Store.
What? Don't go to the Apple Store. Go to TechServe.
What's TechServe? I thought Apple Store was the only choice.
No, you're crazy. TechServe is so much better than the Apple Store. They're New York's original and still the best Apple computer, iPod, and iPhone store and repair shop. Plus, the store is really cool. You got to go check it out. They're located at 119 West 23rd Street.
Well, that settles it. I'm headed to TechServe.
TechServe is a proud sponsor of HeritageRadioNetwork.org. For more information, visit TechServe.com. That's TechServe.com.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to You Look Hungry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm still your host, Helen Holliman, and I'm joined today by Brian Shimkovitz of Awesome Tapes from Africa. And yeah, can you talk a little bit more about what we just listened to?
So yeah, that was a track by Bola. He is a Fra-Fra musician from northern Ghana, way up in Bolgatanga, which is about as far north as you can go in Ghana without landing in Burkina Faso. And, you know, he grew up mostly herding goats for his family, because up there, there's not a lot of farmland and people are mostly tending animals. And a lot of guys who are into music play sort of solo music. I mean, it's one of the things I learned in ethnomusicology studies was that people generally in foresty areas play in larger ensembles, whereas people in more pastoral areas often are alone and play sort of just like a one guy with an instrument. So he plays the kologo. It's a two-string lute made out of a calabash gourd, resonator and, you know, a couple fishing wires, and it's very rhythmic, as you heard, and, you know, played really quickly. He kind of made his way in the scene, if you will, by learning from a few elders and then kind of just going out and playing at parties and funerals and other types of events, and also just playing like out in the street. And you'll see that in northern Ghana, or all across Ghana, actually. You'll see like a sort of a busker type guy playing different instruments and, you know, for change and whatnot. But Bola is, you know, we were talking before the show about, you know, his music videos. Like, he's prolific. He's got 8 or more records, makes music videos for almost every track. They're all super long, like semi soap opera kind of things. And yeah, it's really exciting because he's going to be coming to Europe at the end of July and into August for a whole bunch of shows that we're playing together, like at festivals and DIY spaces across Europe. So that's really exciting. And I'm trying to figure out a way to get him to come to New York next year, which is really difficult visa wise and, you know, finances wise, but, you know, we'll see what happens.
So can you talk a little bit about your record label? Because that's a super exciting thing. And how does it work?
Yeah, it's like after years of kind of giving away music and feeling like, wow, maybe there's something more I could do to try to take it to the next level. Because, you know, the blog gives a lot of artists who wouldn't normally have listeners outside of their hometown a lot of promotional value or whatever. But like, if I could find the artists and cut a 50-50 deal with them and release a record on vinyl and CD and put it through the sort of Western music industry channels into all the record shops all around the world, then maybe I could turn this into something more and really give back to a handful of musicians and help them build careers. And so that's what I've been doing. Really what happened was Secretly Canadian, the label out in Indiana where I had gone to school, they contacted me and said, hey, you know, if you ever feel like ruining your life and starting a record label, we'd love to help you because we have a distribution company. So I have partnered with them, and what I'm doing and spending a lot of time doing is just trying to find the artists themselves and actually like make contracts with them and make sure everything's kosher and do it in a very deliberate manner and try to find a way to put these records out and just see what happens. I feel like there's a lot of listeners to the blog, like there's a lot of fans, and people have been really supportive about it so far, and I'm just really excited to keep finding more interesting things that other labels aren't really releasing and seeing what happens. I think like records aren't really selling these days. It's like starting a book publishing company in 2012 is kind of dumb, but like it just seems like a fun thing to do, and so far it's working, you know, and planning the third release and the fact that Bola's coming to tour is like really a dream come true, because like I said earlier, when I was in Ghana doing my research, I spoke with rappers big and small, the most famous to like the smallest, you know, unknown guys, and they all wanted to figure out a way to get their music outside of their borders, which is really difficult with the distribution system that they have in West Africa currently. So it's been really interesting and rewarding to be a part of the process.
So one of the coolest things I think about the blog is sometimes you'll put something up that you're like, hey, does anyone know what's up with this? And then you read the comment feed, and sometimes there's one person in the universe that's like, oh yeah, it's blah, 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 blah. Can you talk about a fun experience that you've had, like maybe rediscovering one of the artists because of the blog? Like, was there any tape that you put out there and, you know, this person has been MIA forever and they've suddenly come on the map? Like,
well, there's a handful of people that I've kind of been in the process of searching for, because people are just so into their music. Like, there's this guy, Atakak, who's sort of like the first cassette that I put on the blog, and it's really sort of a manifesto for what I'm trying to do with the blog. It's just completely left field, really out there music that nobody, I mean, it's a cassette I found in Ghana, but nobody in Ghana knows who he is. So that's something I've been searching for. But what you alluded to earlier is like, the crowdsourced information has been really interesting, because for me, like, I'm definitely not an expert about any of this, and I'm really passionate about the music, but I'm really also passionate about saying that I don't really know anything about the majority of it, and I haven't been to most of the countries that I'm talking about on the blog. So it's really crucial that there are so many people out there who know a ton about it. And so, for example, like when I post a cassette from Ethiopia, like I love music from Ethiopia, people all around the world have been really excited by Ethiopian music, and I have tons and tons of tapes that I've found like in shops in Little Ethiopia and LA and whatnot. And so when I post it, I'm always just like, yo, I don't know what this is. This might be super famous or whatever. And then people, you know, transliterate the Amharic and, you know, tell what the songs are about and give some translations also. And for me, that's just completely like what the internet is all about. And like, I never imagined that, you know, when we were kids, like when I was a kid collecting baseball cards and stuff, I just never imagined that there was going to be like this way to go on dad's computer and like find out about all this crazy stuff and like hear so much art and see so many interesting things. And I'm just constantly blown away and overwhelmed by it. And of course, the blog reaches about 40,000 people every month. So among those, there are definitely people who have like massive record collections, or maybe they're from some of these countries, because I do have fans who are in Africa or expatriates living in London or wherever. And yeah, it's just really like the world is really incredible.
Touché. You know, speaking of the world, you are constantly traveling DJing, and you've got a very unique DJing style. Can you talk about how you DJ and maybe some of the troubleshooting that you run into?
Yeah, it's a unique challenge to DJ with cassettes, which is what I do. I have two tape decks and a DJ mixer, and you know, it's just trying to like play party music for people, like bringing the blog alive, I guess, taking tracks that like would translate to the dance floor or to whatever the environment of the event is. And so I've made, now my full-time job is to play shows. So I'm living in Berlin and playing a lot of shows in Europe and coming back to the States here and there to do stuff. And definitely from time to time, weird accidents happen. Like I was playing in Latvia a few months ago on one of my favorite tapes in like this huge abandoned tobacco warehouse or factory or something. And I just was playing it, and suddenly like the thing that you always hate to happen on a tape deck, which really, really rarely happens considering how many shows I play and how many tapes get played every night. But like the tape just got completely chewed up and destroyed, and I didn't have the next tape queued up yet, and it was a little bit, you know, it was a sweaty moment, but it always seems to work out, and people are pretty understanding about it, you know, because they for the most part know. But definitely it's like really fun because I don't plan the stuff out beforehand. Like I don't rewind and queue up all the tapes the night before. Like I just kind of do it as I'm playing, so it leaves it a lot of spontaneity, and it keeps me really busy on stage, which is nice.
Well, it's also like, I don't know, because I think of old school DJs with vinyl, you know, the fast fingers, but I imagine with the tape decks, it's like a whole different situation.
Yeah, it's a little weird because you can't really, you know, drop the needle in the spot where you want it to be. And I'm always trying to find new stuff to play. And so like, yeah, there's a couple tracks off each tape that I know are going to work. But then I'm like, wait, let me see. Like, I think I have like a couple more minutes. Let me see if there's another track that I can try to play. Oh, wait, let me try to find the beginning of that track and hopefully try to blend it properly. So yeah, it's definitely weird and niche-y, and I guess like some people probably think it's a gimmick, but for me it's completely natural. Like it was a completely natural evolution after doing the blog for a few years and people inviting me to start DJing. I was like, of course I'm going to DJ tapes.
You have to be kind and rewind, literally. But so, you know, what is an artist right now you're super excited about that you're listening to a lot?
My main thing the last several months, it hasn't been any one particular artist because there's so many of them, is I've been really into Somali music because I found a whole bunch of places online, various portals for Somalians living outside of Somalia, and you can stream so much music, and there's a whole bunch of stuff on YouTube. I mean, by a whole bunch of stuff, I mean like hundreds and hundreds of videos of music from all different eras, most of it, you know, from the 90s and earlier, but yeah, you know, we just don't hear enough about Somalia, and what we do here is so sad and negative that it's been really interesting for me to do a bunch of research about that and find out about the music. Because, like, if you're familiar with Ethiopian music, it kind of has a similar vibe, but then it's a completely different thing, and the language is super different, and it's a really interesting-sounding language that sounds great when people sing. And so I've been spending a lot of my free time when I'm not, you know, messing around with tapes or traveling, just kind of, like, digging into music from Somalia.
You are currently on tour DJing, and you've got some shows in New York. Can you tell people a little bit about where you're going to be playing? And
Let's see. Tomorrow, Friday, I will be playing at Santos Party House for Spencer's Gifts, which is a fun party, and a bunch of other interesting people are playing there. And then on Saturday, I'm playing at 285 Kent, and with some other guys who play music from Africa, Lamine Fufana and Chief Boima. And then on Sunday, I'm doing some different kind of event earlier in the evening at an art gallery. I think it's in Soho, Lisa Cooley Art Gallery. And then on Thursday, I'm doing something at Brooklyn Bowl, which is a party sponsored by Hype Machine that has like Stereo Gum and some other music blogs involved in it. So there's a bunch of bands playing there, and I think that's free if you RSVP. So yeah, that's what I'm doing. And then I'm playing some shows on the West Coast.
Man, I want to come in your suitcase, preferably alive, but I would like to travel with
There's
you.
Too many tapes in there. No space.
And you should obviously go visit the blog, ASAPAwesometapes.com.
Yeah. Yes.
And Brian, you're a pleasure to have on the show. Thank you so much for taking the time to come on.
Thanks.
And thanks to Jack Inslee, the rest of the crew at Heritage Radio, and Roberta's. I'll see y'all next week.
Adios.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.